Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter, Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Brian Lynn brings us new details about an ancient creature found in Germany. I report on Britain's costliest cup of coffee. Ana Mateo and Brian have the new guidelines for preventing stroke. Then, affect and effect on the lesson of the day. But first,
scientists say a fossil found in Germany is providing new details about flying reptiles that lived on Earth about 147 million years ago. The fossil was discovered in 2015 in the southeastern German state of Bavaria. It contains the remains of a newly identified species called Scyphosaura bavarica. Scyphosaura is considered a pterosaur, an ancient flying reptile. It lived toward the end of the Jurassic period. Researchers say the creature played an important part in the development of ecosystems during the age of the dinosaurs. The reptile had a wing reach of about 2 meters for traveling and a set of sharp teeth to help capture and eat other animals. Scyphosaura would have been one of the largest flyers in its ecosystem. Researchers say the discovered fossil was in good shape with nearly every bone remaining in the skeleton. This has permitted the team to learn new details about this pterosaur. One of the leaders of the fossil examinations is David Hone of Queen Mary University of London. He told Reuters news agency he thinks the fossil find was of huge importance. Hone was the lead writer of a study describing the team's work in the publication Current Biology. He added that Scyphosaura has provided new information about the evolution of pterosaurs. It also brings other pterosaur finds we had already made into focus, Hone said. He added that the discovery also helps better explain where they go in the family tree of pterosaurs, and permits scientists to show this development from early to later forms. The teeth are quite long and sharp. They are for puncturing and holding, Hone said. He noted these were likely used to catch smaller animals such as lizards, small mammals, insects, and possibly fish. Pterosaurs are considered ancestors of the dinosaurs. They were the first of 3 groups of vertebrates, animals with a backbone, to enjoy powered flight. Pterosaurs disappeared about 66 million years ago in the mass extinction that also took out most of the dinosaurs after an asteroid struck Earth. Scientists divide pterosaurs into 2 major groups, the early non-pterodactyloids and the later pterodactyloids. The early group's members had a short head, short neck, long tail, and a long fifth toe on the foot. The later ones had a large head, long neck, short tail, long wrist, and short fifth toe. The team says the discovery of Scyphosaura, along with another species that lived 170 million years ago in Scotland, have helped shape important events in pterosaur development. I'm Brian Lynn.
A Scottish dairy, or milk cow farm, is offering what it calls Britain's costliest coffee, one cup for $344. It is a huge price for a little cup of coffee, but the man selling it offers a deal sweetener, a share of a dairy farm. For that price, they also receive 34 shares in Mossgiel Organic Dairy. The company offers the deal in a crowdfunding campaign it opened. It hopes to raise enough money to enlarge its sustainable operation and produce more milk. Investors who buy 34 shares get a certificate for a special coffee drink called a flat white. Holders can present their certificate and get their flat white at one of 13 coffee shops in Scotland that use the dairy's milk. The dairy's owner, Bryce Cunningham, notes his coffee costs 80 times the usual price. "We know it sounds crazy, but when you break it down, it's a pretty good deal. How much is the future of farming worth?" he asked. The price tops the $320 for a flat white at Shot London, a coffee bar in the wealthy Mayfair and Marylebone neighborhoods. That flat white was made with rare coffee beans from Okinawa, Japan. The Telegraph newspaper reported in April that it was the most costly coffee in Britain. Cunningham is seeking about $375,000 from small investors in order to secure a much larger bank loan. He had already raised more than a third of his goal when he offered the flat white farm shares deal. The loan he is seeking is worth more than $1.1 million. He says that financing will help him double operations and expand out of Scotland all the way to London. Shareholders receive other rewards, too, such as farm visits, milk transport deals, and invitations to special events. But investors are also given a standard warning that they could lose some or all of the money they invest. The dairy farm in Mauchline, about 40 kilometers south of Glasgow, is historic. The famous 18th-century Scottish poet, Robert Burns, once worked at the farm. Burns, considered the national poet of Scotland, wrote while working in the fields there for 2 years. An image of his face is on each glass container of Mossgiel milk. Todd Whiteford is an owner of the Good Coffee Cartel in Glasgow that is serving the costly cups. He said the store has been using Mossgiel's milk for several years. He said other milk producers cannot meet the quality of Mossgiel's milk. He said it makes rounder, smoother, and sweeter drinks. Theirs is the best. I'll argue with anyone about that, Whiteford said. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. New guidelines have been issued in the United States for preventing stroke, the nation's fourth biggest killer. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, says that in 2023, stroke was the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. An estimated 500,000 people suffer strokes in the U.S. each year. But the CDC notes that up to 80% of strokes could be prevented with better nutrition and exercise, along with improved risk identification.
A stroke happens when blood flow to part of the brain is blocked, or if a blood vessel in the brain breaks open or bursts. The event keeps oxygen from getting to the brain. This can result in the person having difficulty thinking, talking, and walking. In some cases, a stroke can even cause death. Stroke is a major health problem across the world. On its website, the World Stroke Organization says the condition is a leading cause of death and disability worldwide. Over 100 million people worldwide have suffered a stroke. It is estimated that 25% of adults over 25 will have a stroke during their lifetime.
The new guidelines on stroke prevention came from the American Stroke Association. They are the first to be issued in 10 years. The advice includes suggestions for people and doctors and are based on improved information about who has strokes and why. The guidelines also include new drugs that can help reduce risk. Health researchers say the best way to reduce the risk of stroke is the same as reducing risks for many other conditions. These include eating a healthy diet, moving the body often, and not smoking. Here is what to know about stroke and the newly issued guidelines. Experts say eating healthy can help control possible stroke risks. The goal is to prevent or reduce high cholesterol, high blood sugar, and obesity, the condition of being extremely overweight. The advice urges people to choose foods in the so-called Mediterranean diet. These include fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and olive oil. Eating these foods can help keep cholesterol levels down. Red meat should be limited, along with saturated fats. Additional protein can come from beans, nuts, poultry, and seafood. Highly processed foods and drinks with a lot of added sugar should also be avoided.
Getting up and walking around for at least 10 minutes a day can greatly reduce a person's stroke risk, said Dr. Cheryl Bushnell. She is a neurologist at Wake Forest University School of Medicine in North Carolina. Bushnell was part of the group that came up with the new guidelines. She said regular exercise can help reduce blood pressure, a major risk factor for stroke. However, health experts say more movement is better. The Stroke Association suggests at least 150 minutes of moderate aerobic or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise activity every week. Such exercise could include going to the gym, taking a walk, or running. People can also use exercise machines at home, dance, or play a sport.
The guidelines include a new group of drugs that have been proven to help people lose weight. The drugs, designed for people with obesity or diabetes, had not been approved when past guidelines were issued. But the advice now suggests doctors consider these drugs for patients at risk for stroke. These include versions sold under the names Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound.
The new guidelines also help doctors identify people who might be at higher risk for stroke. For the first time, the advice suggests doctors screen patients for other risk factors. They could include gender or non-medical factors, such as economic issues or the availability of quality health care. The new guidelines also suggest that doctors screen for conditions that may increase a woman's risk for stroke. These could include high blood pressure during pregnancy or early menopause.
Three of the most common stroke signs include face weakness, arm weakness, and difficulty speaking. Also, time is important when a person suffers a stroke. Brain damage can happen quickly, but it can be limited if a stroke is treated quickly. Stroke experts have created an acronym to help people remember. FAST. F for face, A for arm, S for speech, and T for time. If you think you or a loved one may be having a stroke, call the emergency response number in your area immediately. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
And I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Ana. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to the lesson of the day on the Learning English Podcast. My name is Andrew Smith.
And my name is Jill Robbins. Thanks for joining us. Today's lesson will help you learn more about the English you hear in our video series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Ana Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C. Here's Ana introducing herself.
Hello. My name is Ana Mateo.
Today's lesson talks about a special weather event, a blizzard. And our lesson will show how we use both the past perfect and the present perfect tenses when we talk about events.
Andrew, have you ever been in a blizzard?
I have, but it was a very long time ago. And I think we should explain what the word blizzard means.
Okay. A blizzard is a very strong snowstorm with a very strong wind. The wind blows the snow so much that it's difficult to see, and it can be dangerous to go outside.
Jill, I know that in January 2016, a strong blizzard hit Washington, D.C. Were you there, and did it affect you?
Yes, I was here. But I had fun. I had a niece visiting from Boston, where they usually have lots of snow. She was stuck with us for a few more days than she wanted to be. And that blizzard became the topic for Lesson 11 of Level 2 of Let's Learn English. The lesson is called The Big Snow. Let's listen to the beginning of the lesson. Kelly meets Anna, who is sitting and reading a book about the weather.
Hi, Anna. Why do you have all this weather stuff?
I love weather.
Me too. Weather is so important.
It is. It affects people's lives.
Have you ever reported on a big weather event?
I have. I've reported on a blizzard.
Do you mean the one last weekend?
Yes. I had been waiting for that blizzard for years. When it came, I was ready.
Many people, like Anna, get very excited about big weather events, such as blizzards. Anna also said that weather affects people's lives. And you might have noticed that I also asked Jill if the blizzard had affected her. Were you there, and did it affect you?
Let's talk about this verb, affect. It is spelled A-F-F-E-C-T. But even native speakers sometimes confuse this word with the noun, effect. That word is spelled E-F-F-E-C-T.
The confusion happens because we often pronounce the two words the same way. When we are speaking quickly, the first vowel of the noun, effect, is reduced to the quick sound, affect, which is the same sound as the verb.
Andrew, that's our old friend, the schwa.
Yes, it is.
It makes so much trouble for English learners. To affect is to create a change or make someone feel a certain way. And the noun, the effect, is the result of something.
How did the blizzard affect Anna? And what were the effects of the blizzard on Washington, D.C.? We're going to find out. But first, listen to Anna and Kelly again. And this time, listen for the present perfect and past perfect continuous tenses.
Have you ever reported on a big weather event?
I have. I've reported on a blizzard.
Do you mean the one last weekend?
Yes. I had been waiting for that blizzard for years. When it came, I was ready.
Kelly and Anna use the present perfect when they say,
have you ever reported on a big weather event?
I have. I've reported on a blizzard.
Anna uses the past perfect continuous when she says,
I had been waiting for that blizzard for years.
We use the present perfect tense to talk about an action in the past that is important in the present.
And what about the past perfect?
When one event in the past happens before another event in the past, we can use the past perfect tense to make this clear. We use the auxiliary verb had plus the past participle to show what happened first.
Before Anna reported on the blizzard, she had been waiting for a long time. Because waiting takes place over a period of time, we use the past participle been plus the ing form of the verb. This is called the past perfect continuous.
Now let's listen to more of the story about the blizzard. Anna got her friend Pete to help her do the news report on the blizzard. To do the report, they had to work on the weekend, and Anna brought supplies to help them.
Why am I here on a Saturday? Why are you carrying things? Why?
Pete, these are my supplies. Food, a blanket, warm clothing. Where are your supplies? Pete. This could be the blizzard of the century.
It'll be fine.
Pete brought almost no supplies with him. He didn't think the blizzard would have a big effect.
He was wrong. Let's listen to some of the effects of the blizzard and how it affected Anna and Pete. Anna continues to tell the story to Kelly. And be sure to listen for the present perfect and past perfect tenses.
The big snow broke all kinds of records, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And every time a record was broken, we celebrated.
So far in Washington, D.C., 29 inches of snow has fallen. That, my dear listeners, is a record! We just broke the wind speed record! Snow has been falling for 30 hours straight! That's another record!
By Saturday night, stores and restaurants had closed. Did you bring enough food?
I thought I had brought enough food, but I ran out. Hey, Pete, where's my bag of popcorn?
Maybe you ate it already?
No, I didn't.
I haven't seen it.
We had reported together for 48 hours straight.
Wow. That must have been a great team-building exercise for you and Pete.
Yeah, you could say that.
At the end, Pete has eaten all of Anna's popcorn. Anna gets mad, and in the video, they start to fight.
So that's one way the blizzard affected them. And did you hear the other effects of the storm? The storm broke all kinds of records.
To break a record means to surpass, and that's spelled S-U-R-P-A-S-S, or go beyond what had ever been done before. For example, in 2009, Usain Bolt ran the 100-meter race in 9.58 seconds. That broke the world record and is the fastest any person has ever run that distance.
And the blizzard in D.C. broke records for the most snow that has ever fallen in D.C. 29 inches, which is almost 74 centimeters. And it broke the record for the longest amount of time snow has ever fallen in D.C., about 30 hours.
I remember I had a stick in my backyard to measure the snow that time. Those are still records for D.C., so we say the storm broke the record for the most snow that has ever fallen. We use the present perfect tense because we are connecting that past event to a record that still stands.
When we say a record still stands, we mean the record has never been broken.
Blizzards do affect a lot of things, especially in a city like Washington, D.C., which rarely gets them.
And even a little bit of snow can affect Washington, D.C. a lot.
You've been listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
And that's our show for today. But join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm...